Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Be reading verses 8 through verse number 14 responsively this evening. I'll read verse number 8 and you'll join me on verse number 9. We'll do so all the way through verse number 14. Daniel chapter 3, begin in verse number 8. Daniel 3:8, the Bible says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king." Let's read verse 14 together. "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, in thankfulness, Lord, of all that you've done here today. Lord, the spirit of this church has been just wonderful. Lord, how your Holy Spirit has worked through the Sunday school, through the singing, and through the preaching of this morning service. Lord, it's been just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord, tonight is a new night. Lord, is a new truth. Lord, is a new group of people, and there are new needs that need to be met tonight. And Holy Spirit, tonight, we ask in a special way that you would be upon us afresh and anew tonight. Lord, would you please take this truth, hide it deep within our hearts. Lord, may we do with this truth what you've called us to do, to use it and to become more like you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I'm going to preach to me. This is a sermon that I need. I must say, I'll probably preach the sermon better than I live it, just so you know. I have the same problems you have, but I hope you'll listen in while I preach to myself, because I believe more than just I need this truth tonight. King Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of himself. I call it a totem pole. It was about 6 foot wide and 90 feet high. You talk about distorted. 6 foot wide, 90 feet tall. That's a nine-story building. That's as tall as City Hospital and 6 feet wide. A little taller than that, actually. But he set it up to where virtually a rock band followed it around, and every time the band struck up, people were supposed to fall down and worship this image. Here's the problem. 20 years has gone by since the Jews had been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies. For 20 years, men like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they had been trained in the government structure, and they were leading the Jews to be Babylonians in the Babylonian government. That's why they were put in government positions, because millions of people were brought into their country. They needed acclimated, but they knew they wouldn't follow the Babylonians, but they may follow the Jews who are leading them to do so. And that's where men like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, they were in all of the provinces, and they were leaders in those provinces. They were actually considered princes in those provinces, not princesses. All right, difference there. These guys didn't wiggle when they walked. He was trying to help integrate the Jews into the Babylonian way. 20 years has gone by Daniel chapter 3. From Daniel chapter 1 to Daniel chapter 3 is 20 years. These are not college-age young people. These are middle-aged men. These are men that are in their probably early to mid 40s. These are men that have been leading men and leading a nation for decades now. Here's the problem. They made a decision a long time ago. They weren't going to worship false gods. Some of the advisors underneath King Nebuchadnezzar got him to make this idol. They knew how vain he was. And to pass a law that if people did not worship the false god of Nebuchadnezzar, that they would have to be thrown into a fiery furnace and be burnt and killed. Now, these three Hebrew men knew what the penalty was for not bowing, but they decided they'd stand anyway. When they were given a second chance, Nebuchadnezzar liked these men. He said, "I'll give you another chance." And he had the band strike up and everybody fell down except Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now, they were handcuffed. They were placed in heavy coats. They fired up the furnace. They opened up the furnace, and it was so hot that the men that bound them, that were going to throw them into the fire, were actually consumed by the fire. They had to get another group of men. Can you imagine being the second group of men that had to do that? Thinking, man, I'm going to run to the back of the line, that's for sure. They were there to be thrown into the furnace. I don't think things went the way Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had planned, do you? Being thrown into a fiery furnace was not part of their plan. Going through the fire and walking about in the fire, being called back out of the fire, what definitely wasn't part of their plan. Here's the thing. Very little happens in life as we plan it. Anyone age 30 or so or older, your life is much different than the way you planned. By the time you hit 30, all of your plans in life have definitely taken a few turns. There is, I'm watching everybody 30 years old and older. Yeah, trust me. By the time I was 29 years old, my wife and I, our life was much different than we had planned. I thought I would be an assistant pastor in just a little old church, just trying to make ends meet. We had already been to a church in California running over 1,000. Spent 2 years there during the Rodney King riots. That was exciting. Then we fought a battle. We were able to get out of there. And we were in a church in South Carolina for about 4.5 years. One day the phone rang and it was Brother Hiles. He wanted me to come work for him. I'm 29 years old and I'm sitting in the office on a Saturday night of my first staff meeting with just the male church staff members there, about 12, 13 of us in the room there with Brother Hiles, and I'm thinking, I'm 29 years old. This is not what I ever planned for my life. I never planned to go to California. I told my wife before we got married, I said, we'll do anything but go to California. Don't ever say that, because the first place we went was California, Southern California. California is like a box of cereal full of fruits, flakes, and nuts. I had no desire to be there. But we spent 2 years there. I had no desire to go from coast to coast and be in Charleston, South Carolina. Matter of fact, I lived in Goose Creek. Y'all think you're hillbilly up here, man. It's low country down there, man. Swamps. Man, Brother Mike, I went deer hunting and found out I got to fight the alligators for the deer once you shoot them. I'm not kidding, man. I left a 6-point buck laying in the swamp one day. Came back a week later, nothing left but the head. You say, why'd you leave it? Because when I got back there, all I heard was, bow, bow. I'm thinking, not going back there. It sounds like a big bullfrog, but I know that ain't a big bullfrog. It's got bigger teeth. I take my boys out fishing. Remember that? And there's a baby alligator about 2.5-3 foot long out there swimming around biting the bobbers. Well, it grabs a hold of his bobber and starts spinning like this and gets its nose all wrapped up in the line. Man, he thought he caught a whale. I mean, he's like this, that old alligator's tail's flipping, and I look up, and here comes Mama. We got our feet dangling over the edge of the thing at the water's edge. He said, what'd you do? I said, boys, run. Josh says, got a big one. I took my knife out. I said, let's go. We barely got out of the way before she was out of the water. I didn't go fishing there anymore. I didn't like fishing for alligators. I didn't ask for my bobber back either. I don't ever care what happened to that alligator after that. Let me tell you, life didn't go as we planned. If I'd ever, 30 years ago, told my wife we'd be pastoring a church and build a church building, we both would have laughed at each other. It was not in our plans. Can I tell you something? Ask Moses, did his life go as he planned? How about Noah? Do you think Noah's life went the way he planned it to go? What about David? You think his life was going the way he planned it to go? What about Ruth or Esther? You see, life doesn't happen the way we plan it. God does not use the word plan one time in that book. You can read it cover to cover as many times as you want. You'll not find the word plan. And I want to help you tonight. Like I said, I'm preaching to me. I believe in being organized. I believe in being ready for what happens. But let me say this, God uses the word prepared all through it. Most Christians' frustration, most Christians' confusion, their depression comes because their plans don't work out the way they planned. Did you catch that? We get depressed, we get confused, we get frustrated because things don't turn out the way we planned. Plans are man-made. It's us wanting to control our life. Let me say that again. Plans are man-made. It is us wanting to control our own life. It's us wanting to be God and expect God to act on our behalf to fulfill our plan. And when it doesn't work out the way we want, well, God's not fair. That's not right, God. Who are you to judge God? Since man sinned, even God himself is only able to prepare because his plan was not allowed to work out. Sin messed up God's plan. So if sin messed up God's plan, how can our plans not end up being messed up? It's going to be messed up. Plans are based on sinful man. Preparation is the ability to adapt as things change. Let me say that again. Plans are sinful man being God. Preparation is the ability to adapt as life changes. When my wife and I got married, it was great. Man, we lived in a little studio apartment. You could just about fit the whole apartment on the platform up here. It was about twice the size of this platform, pretty close. I think the entire square footage of the apartment we lived in was around 280 square feet. I mean, it was tiny, 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 tiny. But it was great. We made the payments. We were happy. Then we went to California. We lived at 6515 Cerritos Avenue. It was a little 725 square foot, two bedroom, one bath house. Didn't even have a refrigerator in the first month we were there. Do you know what in 1990 the rent for that house was? In 1990, 30 years ago, we paid $1,000 a month. Yes. Yeah, right now, I just recently looked and that house was listed for sale, and it's listed on the market for just under $500,000. If you opened your car door up all the way in the driveway, you hit the neighbor's house, and then on the other side, you were hitting your house. I'm not kidding. If your neighbor burped with the windows closed, you heard it. It was, now the weather's perfect, but it was expensive. I mean, you talk about sticker shock. You know, I went from, I think we were paying $200 a month for a studio apartment to paying $1,000 a month for something that wasn't a whole lot bigger in some ways. And then they have things out there called earthquakes. I wasn't bargaining for that one. Wait a minute. Then kids come along. And with kids come sickness. And one that was on life support for 3 weeks. And I could go on and on. Life didn't go the way we planned. I want to teach you a few things tonight, and I'm going to preach it myself. Number one, are you ready? God wants us prepared, but not so planned that we can't adapt as life changes. God wants us prepared, but not so planned that we cannot adapt as life changes. I said this morning, success is a journey, not a destination. You look at successful people and you see the end of their life, you don't see the journey to get there. Their success is not the end, their success was the journey. You can plan something so much that the Holy Spirit's unable to do his work in your life because it doesn't match your plan. Let me say that again. You can plan your life so much that you plan God right out of it. I'm going to preach to our teenagers for a second. You young people have dreams. You got plans. I'm for it. I'm for you dreaming. But you're not going to hear your preacher say, what do you want to do with your life? You're going to hear your preacher say, what's God want you to do with your life? It's not a matter of what you want. Those are your plans. How about what God has planned for you? If I did what I wanted, I wouldn't be pastoring right now, let me tell you. Now, I'm enjoying it because it's the will of God, but it wasn't in my plans 35 years ago, 40 years ago. If I'd have done what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a missionary to Mexico. Before I was called to preach, I either wanted to play professional sports or be in the military full time. I think I had the oomph to do it. Think I had the drive to do something. Now, I'm going to say something to you young people. Life looks pretty easy for you right now. It's going to change. Yeah. It's going to change. And it's going to change real fast. And it's not going to go the way you planned. And if you're not careful, you will have planned God right out of your life because of you wanting to stick to a plan rather than doing what God says do. Your preacher just helped you, whether you know it or not. Many people get frustrated with the gray areas of life. Did you know life is not black and white? There's a lot of gray. A lot of it. Not everything is black and white. Now, you say, why? That's why God gave us principles by which to live. Sometimes we have to apply principles to our life, which means it's right most of the time this way. But sometimes it's not always the best thing. That's what wisdom is for. That's what asking God and asking advice is for. Some of us are so rigid that we'll pass by, we'll step on, we'll throw people away because they didn't fit into our plan. Well, God help us. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to you and throw you away and let you die and go to hell? Some of you expect other people to live at a standard you can't live because it's your plan. Well, aren't you glad God didn't do that? Aren't you glad God forgave you for your screw-ups? Everybody doing okay? This is not an excuse to view Scripture as I see it. But the principles of the Bible adapt as life changes. It is a living Word of God. I'm so thankful I can go to Genesis and apply it today. I'm so glad I can go to the book of Job and apply it today. Did you know the principle I preached this morning still works today as it did in the time of Job? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not plan to go through a fiery furnace, but they were prepared to live by principle no matter the cost. Nebuchadnezzar, we're not bowing, and our God will deliver us. What's the next three words? But if not, we're still not going to bow. They were prepared to die. Did you see that catch? That's pretty good, wasn't it? They were prepared to die. They were ready to die when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Don't you think the first time they took a breath in there and they went, I didn't die. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got thrown into something like that, I'm going to hold my breath as long as I can. I got blown up one time doing a brush fire. I've told the story before. I put about 3 or 4 gallons of gas on a brush fire, put a little leader on that thing. That's in South Carolina. All the Spanish moss hanging out of the big oak trees. Beautiful. I had a pile of brush. You could probably pile it at about 10 foot high, and it was wider than our auditorium is here. Probably another third wide. Huge pile of brush. I got 3 or 4 gallons of gas on that thing. I put me a little trail on that thing, and I about as far back from it as the last row of chairs back there. Well, it's kind of crescent-shaped, and I didn't know that the wind was kind of just gently blowing into that thing going like this, but it was. And I got a guy standing over about 30 yards away with a garden hose, and I could spit more water than came out of that hose. No water pressure. Said, Gene, you stay there just in case. All right, preacher. I lit that match. I turned my head and went like that. And all of a sudden, the god-awfulest boom took off. The ground, I don't know. They say the ground shook. I don't know because it picked me up and threw me. It threw me about 12 or 15 feet in the air. And I had fire all around me. And it was like, it was burning my arm. My eyelashes melted to my sunglasses. And it was like God said, you fool, and put just a little envelope around me. And as all I could think of was, don't breathe. You know, you suck that hot air in, you're going to fry your lungs. So I just remember getting blown across through the air and hitting the ground rolling. And I looked up, and there's a mushroom cloud going up. There were no leaves. There was no Spanish moss. There was nothing left in the trees. There were guys working on the roof of the church building, as high as this roof. And the building shook, and the chandeliers in the church were still doing this. 15 minutes later, I mean, it was a big one. They saw the fireball go over top of the building. The people were running. Somebody died. Somebody died. I'm laying on the ground thinking, that didn't work out like I thought. We had a church service that night. My hair is like melted. I had to call my barber and go to his house and get my hair cut. I took my sunglasses off. And there's my eyelashes are melted right to it. You know? This was not a good thing. Do not use gasoline to start fires. It didn't go the way I planned. I had a good idea. But it didn't go the way I planned. It didn't go the way Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego planned either. I don't think they ever planned if they got thrown into that fire to walk out of it. This is not an excuse to float through life. But plans change, and don't get depressed when plans change. Don't get all upset because your plans had to change. Mary and Joseph probably did not plan for life to happen the way it did when they got engaged. I don't think when Joseph proposed to Mary to marry her that he expected that she'd get pregnant and they weren't together. And then to have an angel come and say, she's carrying the Christ child. Right. I don't think that went the way they planned. I don't think when she's 9 months pregnant and got to get on the back of a donkey and ride to go to the census and pay taxes that she was planning on having the baby in a barn. I don't think it went the way they planned, but I do know this, they prepared because she had swaddling clothes with her. Most brides freak out because the plans for their wedding don't go exactly the way they planned. Can I tell you something? Nothing ever goes exactly the way you plan. I had a friend of... No, yeah, I'm dealing with a future bride that way. I didn't say bridezilla yet. she will hear this. I love you. I had a friend that decided he was going to go to Columbia, South Carolina and start a church. Married, had two or three kids, maybe four. Name was Jeff Jones. Jeff got to Columbia, South Carolina, started scoping things out and got sick. Ended up going to the doctor, and the doctor sent him to a specialist. The specialist sent him to another specialist. And within a week, he was in the hospital with leukemia near death. He was in one of those special wards where when you went in, you had to have a machine scrub you down. And each room in the ward had its own air circulation system because they were so highly contagious type people. I watched Jeff Jones say, I was supposed to start my church in a couple weeks, Brother Bush. I'm going to start it from the hospital bed. I don't know how many doctors and nurses he and his wife won to Christ. They started the church in the hospital. I think their first service, he was sitting in a hospital bed for his first service, had 17 people saved in the hospital. He got better. Got out and got his church going. Within a year and a half, he was back and in worse shape than he was the first time. My wife and I went up to see him, and I don't mean to be, if you've never seen somebody near death with that type of cancer, but his skin color was the color of an avocado. His kidneys had shut down, his liver had shut down, all the poisons just laying in his skin, barely alive. Life didn't go the way Jeff and Janice planned. Not at all. You know, life doesn't always go the way we planned. What would have happened had Mary and Joseph not adapted their plans? What would have happened if they were so rigid that Joseph would have said, I'm going to put you away, I don't care what the angel said? No, he was prepared. He decided he would adapt and make it work. Everybody doing okay? Too many people plan their own life in their own path. And sometimes God's not allowed to do what God wants to do and guide you. If God doesn't fit into your plan, so be it. You'll do your plan over God's. Number two, I must hurry. I spend much of my life helping people improve their lives because their plans didn't work out. I spend much of my life trying to help people because their plans didn't work out in life. I often have to get people to see because their plan didn't work that it doesn't mean that good still is not available. Did you know just because your life didn't go exactly the way you planned, life is not over? Do you know just because you got fired from that job or you lost that job, life is not over? There's more jobs. Thank God for President Trump. You can go find another one. Yeah. Still have same problems because you'll be there. But there's jobs out there. It's not the end of the world. Now, I'm not for you getting fired tomorrow, just so you know. But I am for, if you do, let's replan. Let's just keep on going. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 is all about? And we know that all things work together for good. Notice it doesn't say all things are good. It doesn't say all things are going to be good in a hurry. It says it will work together for good. I stand before you, failure after failure after failure after failure, turn after turn after turn, to have the success we have today. When I hit the obstacle and we had to make a change of plans, I didn't give up. When I was in California and I had my precious little bride and a sick baby that almost died, and I was fighting the battle of a life at the church, and I couldn't even let my wife know. I remember getting up and preaching a sermon in chapel, and the pastor got up on Wednesday night and said, well, some people believe this, but this is what we're going to believe. Took my sermon and preached it in reverse. And my wife, on Wednesday nights, we would go down and sit with our wives. My wife was sitting by me. She said, what's he doing? I said, just sit here and smile. I said, during closing prayer, we'll tiptoe out. And after we got home, because we only lived about 4 or 5 blocks from the church, I had to tell my wife we were in a battle. About 10 days later, the phone rang. A little lady on the other end of the line said, Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney. I'm Brother Hyle's secretary. Brother Hyle's like to talk to you. Could you hold, please? Yes, ma'am. I waited about 20, 30 seconds. He came on the line. I heard that old, deep, gravelly voice. Greg, this Brother Hyle's. Yes, sir. He said, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, do you want to stay? Well, number one, I didn't know how he found those things out because my wife didn't even know those things. As far as I knew, I was the only human being on earth that knew those things. I was sitting at my desk and I said, preacher, I said, I'm painting houses just to pay the bills. On top of working 60, 70 hours a week at the church, I said, the church is going the wrong direction. It's not a matter of me wanting to stay. I can't. I said, if I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor in this church. I said, and that wouldn't be right. He said, no, that wouldn't. I said, but if I'm loyal to the principle, to the pastor, I'll be disloyal to my principles, and I'm not changing principles for him, for you, or for anybody else. And I thought, why did you say that to Jack Hyles? He said, all right, I'll help you. I said, excuse me? He said, I'm going to get you out of there. He said, I want you to go home. And he said, how much of this does your wife know? I said, nothing. I said, other than the sermon that was preached against us last Wednesday night, I had to say something to her. He said, what happened? So I'd tell him. It was him that got us from California to South Carolina. I worked for the man for 5 years. I never did ask him how he found those things out. I didn't want to know. But you know, I needed that. Brother Joe, I couldn't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of pastors and assistant pastors I've helped because of what I went through. Untold number of men of God I've helped because I've been where they're at. You see, why do we get so upset when things don't go the way we planned? Why? I often have to help people prepare to pick up the broken pieces and make something new out of it. But did you know just because it broke in pieces, it can still be put back together? Yes. Remember, plans are a guide. They're not the Bible. Plans are what you want. They're not the Word of God. And sinners mess up plans. You may not mess it up, but somebody might mess it up for you. And this is where our preparation to adapt comes in. Don't give up when plans shatter. Come see me. We'll prepare new ones. A shattered plan is not the end of life. It may be the stepping stone to your success. Number three, and I'll finish. I'll finish quickly. I love this point. I've been waiting a whole sermon just to preach this. God prepares. Man plans. Because man wants to be God of his own life. Watch this. God prepared a whale for Jonah. God prepared a gourd for Jonah. God prepared a worm for the gourd. God prepared an east wind for Jonah. God prepared his throne for judgment. Psalm 103, verse 19. God prepared the heavens. Proverbs 8, 27. God prepared a sacrifice. Zechariah 1, 7. And his name was Jesus, by the way. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels and those that would follow him, Matthew 25, 41. God prepared the ark, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. God prepared a city for the Jews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 16. God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, Psalm 23, 5. And may I say this, God prepares a place for us in heaven, John 14, 1. It didn't say, I go and plan a place for you. It said, I go and prepare a place for you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you used to like a certain food about 10, 15, 20 years ago and you don't eat it anymore? If you'd have planned it back then, that's what you wanted in heaven, but now it'd be something else. God's prepared, he didn't plan. As things change in life, he's there to adapt. That's what principles are for. Every one of these things were prepared by God. They weren't planned. By the way, every one of those things required change. We're so afraid of change. We freak out at change. Why? Well, it's not in my plan. So, be prepared for change. I'm not saying float through life. But don't be so planned that you cannot be prepared to adjust when real life happens. Because I hate to tell you something, real life's going to happen. Yes. Let's not plan God out of it, or let's not put God in a box and say he has to meet my plans. That's you playing God. How about you say, God, this is what I'd like to do. How close can we get? And you guide me, and I'll enjoy whatever I get to do along the way. God doesn't plan, and I think we ought to be prepared, not planned. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you listen tonight, I helped you. I know I helped me. I have a tendency to want to overplan. And if it doesn't work out exactly the way I planned, like a bus engine blowing up for the second time, it didn't work out the way I planned. But guess what? We still had church. We still had visitors. We still had people saved. And we still had people's needs met today. Why? Because we have to prepare, not plan.